trending this hour.
So Meghan Markle's dad commented and defended his daughter amid the whole like Meghan versus Kate feud rumors. Why are we still asking this guy what his opinion is? Who's calling him?
Yeah.
Stop it.
He kind of reminds me of there's a kid in the NBA who's like doing okay, and his dad is like in the news all the time. Lorenzo Ball, if I'm not mistaken, is his name. And he's just like become such an extravagant interview, and he says such outlandish things that he's got more hype than his kid.
Like, Meghan doesn't like you, Tom.
Yeah. I bet she's pissed, eh?
Yeah, stop talking to my dad.
And like, Dad, quit talking about me publicly.
So Kris Jenner had this whole extravagant teaser of something that her daughter Kendall Jenner was in the works, like working on,
mm-hmm.
and had an announcement which launched yesterday. And she used hashtag prepare to be inspired, be the voice of change. And then the announcement finally came, and it was just that she's now being endorsed by Proactive. So I feel hurt.
Lied to.
Like, all this hype, I actually was like, oh, maybe she'll, like, open up about anxiety or, like, something that I can relate with.
Mm-hmm.
I can relate with acne because I actually have acne.
You don't think Kendall does?
She had one zit at an award show, and she covered it up, and people, like, zoomed in and, like, HD'd it, and they were like, whoa, what's wrong with your face? That's just, like an one online troll.
Right.
Being a jerk. Yeah, we all get a pimple here and there, but some of us have cystic...
Red, she might.
Bumpy. Not in the videos of her talking about it.
Yeah. Is your acne out when we have photo shoots? Like, no.
No.
See?
Whatever. I'm just mad that it was something as boring as Proactive. Oh, you're getting paid millions of dollars to be in some videos? Okay.
Wasn't her last endorsement Pepsi, too? Which is like the worst thing ever for acne.
We're all over here sipping on Pepsi instead of tea.
And now we need Proactive. I'm just over a week away from my first major surgery. I think all that I've had other than that is like teeth. I had some wisdom teeth cut out. I think that's considered surgery.
Teeth, like, it's not a big deal, because I have surgery like 4 days after you and mine are teeth extractions.
Yeah, okay.
And you were telling me, like, the sound is sick, like it's like cracking in your skull.
Yeah, it's weird. Ugh. Really weird sensation. But no, I'm getting my ACL repaired and my meniscus is out, so they have to cut a chunk of muscle out of my quad to rebuild my ACL with it, and they have to do a different type of surgery for my meniscus.
That sounds easy.
Okay, anyway, with both of us having surgeries coming up, if yours counts as that, I was wondering if anybody has any experiences with surgeries that went wrong.
Okay, I've seen enough Grey's Anatomy episodes to know that it definitely can happen.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. And like, when I brought this up to you as a possible idea, I said, I don't know if we're going to get anybody that has a story, but maybe, just maybe, there is. And if that's the case, I'm interested. I have a very invasive surgery.
When people have their hands in your mouth, that's invasive. I picture at least one of our listeners just using a synopsis from a TV show, like like Seinfeld.
Don't do that.
There is a junior mint left inside of me. We've made a terrible mistake.
Yeah, we should have done surgery fails after we both had our surgeries, because mine's next Thursday, yours is the Monday after, right?
Yeah, and right now I think I need to go home, because reading these surgery fails on the text line, I'm like, oh, I can't breathe properly.
The one said the guy was allergic to the anesthetic and his heart stopped while he was on the surgery table, and like, I've told you this before, I'm even breathing differently right now. I'm nervous. I've never been put under. And for some reason, that is what has me nervous more than, like, my knee surgery.
Yeah, well, it's intimidating. You go in there, the lights are right in your face because you're laying down. But there's a professional in there, and it's their entire responsibility to make sure you're comfortable. And you're out in seconds. Like, I'm telling you.
Scary.
No, it's good. It's like they ask you to count down from 10, and you're out by, like, 7.
Can I just, like, try a little hoot of it?
That's not a thing.
Like, just get a little anesthetic and just like today to just to see what it feels like, and then I'll be fine. It's kind of like with this anesthetic. It's as if you're like drinking for the first time, but you don't get to just have a sip. You have to chug a 2-6.
It's not like you can taste anything.
No, no, but I'm just saying, like, the how screwed up am I going to be?
You're
going to
be fine.
You know how you like to test it a little first?
You're not going to know because you're going to be a sleep rider. The weird part is waking up and being like, ugh, you're drooling.
It makes me dizzy. And a lot of these stories coming in are pretty crazy. This one said, after 8 months, one of my knee surgeries, a screw in my knee unscrewed itself. I could feel it underneath my skin. I had to get another surgery.
Kevin wrote in saying, I had a catheter inserted into my heart. I refused sedation and pain meds because I didn't live in the city I had it done in. I wanted to be out of the hospital as soon as possible. The catheter went in through my thigh, and I could feel everything. It was horrible. Within 2 minutes, I asked if it was too late to get the meds. They pushed in the drug, and I went, bye-bye. Lesson learned, take the drugs.
All right.
See? It's good.
Melody hit us up. She's listening from Tabor and said, my daughter had to have knee surgery. When I signed the admittance form, they had the wrong knee written down. I had them change it. Then in pre-surgery, the doctor explained that he writes his initials on the knee he's going to operate on so he doesn't operate on the wrong knee. He then promptly signed his initials on the wrong knee.
No!
Thank goodness I was in the room and caught the mistake. Okay, another note to self. Don't get surgery in Tabor. The premiere of this year's The Bachelor hit the tube last night. Colton is the fella. So let's get into this.
Ryder's Bachelor Update.
I'll do my best to watch the entire season. Probably like last year, though, I'll give up after about 3 episodes. But for now, I did watch all 3 hours last night. Some things I discovered. They focused far too much on his virginity.
That isn't his identity, okay?
If I was him, you know what I'd do? Just go pound town and then be like, hey, what now? Can we move on, please?
It just blows my mind that all these women were making these, like, virgin jokes. Like, that's uncomfortable. And also, Colton has other things going on in his life, like running a charitable organization. He raises money for cystic fibrosis, research and equipment. Like,
they didn't talk about that.
Didn't talk about that, but we just joked.
Just the virginity. It's like my high school nightmare after all my buddies had, you know, and I hadn't yet. That somehow he would end up on national TV like this guy. We're singling out him as the only virgin left.
How about when the host interviews him about it? Chris talks to him. He's like, so do you feel like you're not a man?
Yeah, what?
What is happening? Also, why did it take 2 hours to get to the limo scene? That's why we're here.
Yeah. Okay. So I did some research on things that you could accomplish in 3 hours rather than watching
Ryder's Bachelor Update.
Guess that's a loop. rather than watching The Bachelor, you can run a half marathon, and that's with a solid 20-minute stretch pre- and post-marathon. You could fly from Edmonton to Nashville. You could break in some new runners. It usually takes about 3 hours.
You could probably slow cook something.
Yeah. So you could slow cook many things. You could make and bake an original proper Italian lasagna from scratch, like make your own noodles in 3 hours. You could perform coronary bypass surgery, heart surgery. But no, you watch The Bachelor with me instead. And finally, the last thing I learned about the show is this Christine chick tells me that they definitely make him keep people around.
For ratings purposes.
Exactly. So I bet there's like it's written in the contract that we're going to have one wingnut and you've got to keep her around. She went back in and interrupted like 3 of his dates. So she went and chatted with him 4 times. Some girls didn't even get to. There's no way you keep somebody that selfish around. And she's, in my opinion, like the least attractive one there as well. I would have told her to hit the road with her dog.
What about the sloth chick, the girl dressed as a sloth?
Yeah, I would have told her to hit the road, too.
That was painful.
She left a lot quicker than she came in, yeah.
Ryder's Bachelor Update.
Hot 107.
Do we make snap judgments based on someone's profile pic?
Absolutely. Oh, they put a filter? Like, I'm talking like the dog ears avoid.
Yeah, especially like I spent some time on dating apps. I'm over that now. It wasn't worth it to me. But I noticed that like when they had the dog face Snapchat filter as their profile pic, I was like, I'm going to have to like their personality. Without getting too judgy, I was just like, they're hiding their face.
No, it's them that like don't have the personality. They use the dog to be like, look at me, I'm zany.
Okay.
But I would always use the dog filter to cover my nose. So I get kind of where you're coming. Like, I have a pretty big nose.
The snap judgment you make based on someone's profile picture.
Hey, and listen, if you're listening right now and you do have that as your profile picture, maybe I'm wrong about you and I am just being snap judgy and that's not right. So FYI, you are kind of giving off the wrong impression. There's probably someone listening that's like, I have a great personality. I'm hilarious. Okay, but you need to change your profile picture then.
Okay.
Because that's what people are thinking when they see that.
Let's be honest about ourselves then, too.
Okay.
What do you think of my Instagram profile picture? It is of my bobblehead. Like that we had bobbleheads made up here.
Okay, yeah. So you definitely give off that you're in your late 30s.
What? What?
Well, which is a fact.
Why are bobbleheads bigger with the...
It's just one of those things
I'm
where...
I'm 36. That's not older 30s. It's mid.
You're closer to 40 than you are to 30. It reminds me of like every person on my Facebook that has a flower as their profile picture. It's like, okay, that's an auntie. That's someone's auntie.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
So you're like an uncle. You're funny and you have a bobblehead, but why is that your profile picture?
Even the way you said you're funny sounded rude.
You
there.
Are very funny.
Thanks.
That definitely shows that you're funny. Someone made a bobblehead of you. You're amazing.
Yeah, okay.
But you have some good angles. You have a really nice smile. You should be doing an actual picture of yourself.
May I?
I'll show you mine. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I know what it is. It's like when you still had your pink hair. So
lies.
That's circa 2016.
No. Ryder, that is not my pink hair. It was the lighting in Cook County. The bar I was at the time.
So you had blonde hair there?
Yes, and I had blonde hair there.
Mm.
It's the lighting from the dance floor.
Okay, well, even I can tell by the length of your hair there, that picture's a few years old. So I'm just doing snap judgy.
I have very Meg Ryan vibes in this picture, and it's amazing.
It is a very nice picture, but we're being snap judgy.
I know, it's okay, I can take it.
I would say that you're struggling with aging, the fact that you're picking a picture from a half a decade ago.
Well, I just don't have any... pimples in that one, so it's nice. What do you think about the profile pictures where they're cropped wrong? Because in my mind, or like the webcam pictures where they're not looking in the lens properly.
Yeah, there was a bad phase, especially when the transition of like most people using Facebook primarily on their computer to primarily on their phone. So that was what, 3-4 years ago, uh-huh, that kind of transition took place. And the profile pictures that you'd upload on the computer look terrible on the phone and vice versa.
Okay.
That was kind of a weird stage for Facebook profiles.
I think when they're cropped wrong, you can like actually count how many failed relationships they have. Why has it been, and why are there 17 of them in a row?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Do you know
what
I mean? Where they're just cropped wrong, where it's like,
you can see somebody's half their, shoulder.
Yeah, it's like just their forehead.
Yeah.
You're like, oh man. I think people that use the temporary profile pictures are on Facebook too much, because I personally don't even know how to do that.
Right, okay.
How do you know how to do that?
Yeah, you're addicted to your phone. We'll put that on the snap judgments. We want to hear yours as well, 780-784-7107.
And what makes a good profile picture? How do you come off cool?
All right.
Teach me.
So we got fairly judgy a few minutes ago. It's about some of the things we perceive.
Well, I also just want to give advice. I want you to have better luck when, say, you're on a dating site.
Yeah.
I just don't think you're going to get as many yeses if you have like one of those extreme Snapchat filters on your face. You're beautiful the way you are, and it kind of makes you come off a bit insane. It's the first impression mentality.
Jermaine has a tip for dating profile pictures specifically.
I would say, as a general perspective, you should have at least 1 to 2 full body pictures in there, no matter what your body type is, and pictures with you smiling. That's all that really matters. Pictures
all right.
If you smiling, then you're good to go. But, like, no catfish, nobody on your body. Like, Just represent.
All right. Thanks for the tip.
Smiling, smiling is good. Mm-hmm. Like, I posted a picture of myself, not like on the actual page, but on my story, and I had my teeth. Like, I was smiling like normally. And the amount of messages from people being like, whoa. Like, I didn't even know you had nice teeth. You never smile with your teeth.
Hmm.
We should be doing that more. Like a genuine smile. Duck face is out.
Okay.
Smiling is in.
Jessica said, if it's a selfie, but it's in black and white, I'm always like, calm down. You're not a photographer.
Okay, so we are being very judgy.
Yeah, let's get it out.
Alyssa says, guys who have cars for their profile picture, I'm sorry, you come off as a douche. And it seems like you're not confident in your own looks. Or if you have a cartoon character or a meme or anime. Listen, it's cool if you're into that stuff. If you're really passionate about trucks and cars, that's great.
Cover photo. That's where that belongs, right?
Absolutely.
I think the profile picture needs to be you, though. Heather says, I get so many more likes on a profile picture when I post one of me and my daughter. So I guess being a mom makes me cool.
That's true.
I get that. Like the social media love I get from my dad adventures with my daughter is just like triple the amount I get when I'm just doing something dumb.
Listen to this text. Kellyanne just wrote in saying, if it's a gym selfie, I assume that you have no personality or interests other than the gym. Boring. Don't you go other places. Wow. Okay. Let's not get angry. If you're someone whose profile picture is that, you probably do have a personality, but this is just how you're coming off.
To we're some people.
Snap judgment. That's what we're talking about. And I will say I'm very intimidated mm-hmm. when a guy has a profile picture of him in the gym because I go and I've been trying to do a lot better. Like, I haven't missed a day since the new year. But that doesn't mean I'm always going to be like that.
Right.
These people probably go every day. It's their religion. Do you ever go for beer and hot wings?
So another text we got here says, if he or she has kids in their profile picture, but then party pics on their picture page, I always assume they're a bad parent.
Well, I don't agree with that, but we are talking what?
Snap judgments.
That's crazy.
We got in an argument a few minutes ago about what started the conversation was how many tiers there were in The Bachelor this season. Like on that thing at the end that's like, this season on The Bachelor, it was just a montage of people crying for 6 minutes.
Including Colton.
Yeah.
The Bachelor.
And jumping a fence, too. That was pretty cool. Anyway, we decided to have a cry-off to see who could get tears going first here in the studio. I feel like you've been, this isn't fair. I had to set this all up and you're over there just blinking really fast trying.
No, I'm not.
You're watching sad dog videos, Sarah McLachlan videos when I walk in.
Quit making things up. That never happened. Okay, so first person to have physical tears. You look constipated right now. This is a really good experiment. I think everyone listening should try to. Try and cry. Let's see if you can get in touch with your emotions.
I'm just like pushing. It's not working.
Puppies.
I got a tear. I got a tear.
No, you don't.
Yes,
I do. You yawned. You yawned. Let me touch that tear. There's nothing there. That was dry finger. Sorry. Keep going.
No, I'm done. I just won.
No, I got one. Look, 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 look.
I feel like if you push any harder, you're going to fart. Had one of our buddies text us and just say, thanks a lot. Now I'm bawling on the way to work because we played some sad music to see who could cry first live on air.
And then he said, I thought about way too many sad things to cry. I'm going to pull into work and they're going to be like, what's wrong? Crying. My grandma died 9 years ago.
Dougie's the best. All right. We wanted to go through some of our favorite songs from soundtracks as Shallow ended up winning the Golden Globe on Sunday. And so we wanted to get chatting about that. There's a lot of good songs from soundtracks. Hit us up if there's one specifically that stands out for you. 780-784-7107. We've each come up with our top four. What are you going with?
Well, obviously, I have to talk about Whitney Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I Will Always Love You, which is from The Bodyguard. And that's not the show on Netflix. I'm talking about like the OG Bodyguard. It sucks. Like you Google The Bodyguard and it's all these new characters. And I'm like, hey.
No, like Kevin Costner.
Kevin?
Yeah.
Now, I have a really cool story about this song. It was Kevin Costner that suggested that Whitney Houston sing it a cappella to begin. And even David Foster, who's the music producer, was like, no, that's absurd. Like, what? And then it became number one. It's actually still known as the greatest song of all time.
So this is your
so cool.
fourth pick.
Correct. And
all right, I'm going with my number four. I would like to think it's a little bit better than that even. I know that you're claiming that that's the best song ever made. I don't know where you came up with that. I'm going with Gangsta's Paradise from the movie Dangerous Minds. What do you got for number three?
Okay, well, this actually isn't my third. I didn't know we were going in a certain order.
We can pick any. I'll be ready for you.
This would be my number one.
Okay.
But I'm going to play it now because everybody knows I'm going to choose this song. It's Stand Out by the Goofy Movie.
Oof. I actually just don't get why you're so obsessed with that song.
Are you kidding me? I'm going to walk down the aisle to that. Okay, your turn.
All right, number three for me is from the movie Robin Hood, a good old Canadian boy. And everything I do it for you. A big part for me is, like, how well does it fit the scene?
Okay. Before you go any further, I thought you said, because you started, like, from Robin Hood, and I thought you were going to start playing, like, Oodalali, Oodalali, or whatever that song is from the Disney movie. So I'm just really happy that that didn't happen.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Continue.
What are you going with for number two?
Okay, number two. This one, I don't think a lot of people appreciate. It's from Pretty Woman, and it's called Must Have Been Love by Roxette.
Was that the breakup? Right after they broke up? I think so.
Dude, Roxette is just legendary in my mind. Okay.
This song was number one the day I was born on the charts, and still, I think, is just the best ever in the movie. It's from Rocky.
Oh,
Rocky
yes.
3, to be specific. It's Survivor and Eye of the Tiger. Actually wanted to use a Queen song, another one, Bites the Dust, for that scene of Rocky where he's training in Russia, and Queen said no, so that they went with this, which
Everything
ended up being like
reason.
Massively iconic. Yeah. All right, number one for you.
Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On from Titanic.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty powerful. So- All right.
Wow. Now I can win a cry off.
You really picked some tacky songs,
what?
Eh? I'm going with the most iconic for me for a song that, like, just drove it home. The message was 8 Mile and, Eminem's Lose Yourself.
Landon wrote it and said, I'm a believer from Shrek, and I'm inspired.
Yeah, that's a jam. It was the premiere of The Bachelor last night. Some people made some grand entrances, which I don't feel like those work anymore. I'm talking like there was a girl that came in a Cinderella ball. I don't want to be a spoiler here, but I'm going to be, I guess, a little bit. She never made the cut. She even, like, took off one of her shoes and gave it to him and then spent the rest of the night walking around with one shoe. So she just, she looked like the caddy off Happy Gilmore. So that was one of the, like, grand entrances. the ones that I feel do the best are the genuine ones, mm-hmm. like without any fireworks.
You know, you can't even stand out by speaking to him in a different language anymore. Like, there was the one girl's like, I think I'm going to stand out by being like cool and not wearing a sparkly dress like everyone else. Like, I spoke to him in Spanish or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then there were like six other girls that approached him and they were speak like, it's not original anymore. That sucks.
There was even that Brie girl who pretended she had an Australian accent to stand out. That was pretty funny. Because they immediately cut to afterwards where she's like, I don't actually have an accent.
So Britt, who listens to our show, wrote in saying, if you guys were on The Bachelor or Bachelorette, what would you do for your first impression? Like, how would you make yourself stand out? And I said, what an interesting question. Thank you so much. Like, you, if you text our show and suggest topics, we might roll with them because that's kind of a cool concept.
Totally.
So she wrote back because I asked, well, what would yours be? And she said, you'd have to look good, but I don't think I'd go with the standard dress. I'd maybe wear like a hockey jersey with some knee-high socks and hold a beer. Show your personality without being too crazy.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I'd be into that. Especially if like she burped and I knew that she could hang out. Not like so close that I could smell it.
You're telling me if a girl burped, you'd be into it.
If she chugged a beer and then belched, I'd be like, I could watch hockey with this girl. Yeah.
When we used to crash parties on New Year's, someone was like, somebody, I need a knife or a key to open my shotgun beer. And I was like, hand it over. And I cracked it with my tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And then I shotgunned it. And that was my moment.
So that
was
be,
my most proud moment.
Could that be your Bachelor intro? Is if you walked over and were like, you want a shotgun a beer? And then you crack like two, one for him and one for you?
It's so interesting to me. Like, even this season, girls are doing everything they can because they know that this guy likes dogs. They know he likes to eat. So one girl brought a bag of nuts. Another girl physically brought her dog and handed it to him.
And said, can you watch this for me? And he's like, I'm too busy. And then Chris Harrison had to, like, take care of the dog. Ugh.
So what is there left to do to stand out? Just
there was a girl that dressed up in a sloth costume.
I didn't like that. Like, it was cute for a second, but then it's like, okay.
It was so awkward.
Get moving.
All right, so 780-784-7107. If you've watched the show at all, you've probably figured out what you and your personality would do if put in that situation. Mine would be as genuine, as kind, and as real as I could be.
You'd be really good at, like, showing you got good shoe game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wear something that's totally you, not something that's out of your personality. Like, all those glittery long gowns, like, would you actually wear that?
I absolutely would.
I wasn't talking to you.
Oh, but never mind.
Ryder and Lisa Reloaded, the official podcast of Hot Mornings with Ryder and Lisa, powered by Booster Juice,
only from Hot 107.